You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart, now and always.
So today, we'll be talking about the silver love, and I would love to take my text. 2 Samuel 13, verse number 1. So you can understand what about silver love. I have a few more minutes, 2 Kings 13. Father, we ask that you bless this word today to help us to understand those that love you silver, so they can move to the next level of love towards you, for you, for the things that matter to you. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Put your hands together. Now, this story is a known story, so I'm just going to read a few verses of scriptures from there. I'm going to read it because I want to explain to you the life of a person called Tamar. 2 Samuel 13, verse number 1. Now, and it came to pass about this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. You see, I want to explain that word love to you. That's this lust. I explained to you last week that love, there are three L's that Samson had in his life. He loved, he liked, and he lusted. Now, lust is a silver love. Many Christians in church consider themselves, they are nominal Christians and are born again Christians, and you and I think they are born again Christians because all they have towards God is this fellow's love towards Tamar. And look at this love towards Tamar. This is the border. And it came to pass that this, that Absalom is son of David. Go to verse, and Amnon was verse 2. Verse 2. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick, wow, for his sister Tamar. What a love. How can Amnon love Tamar to the point of being sick? In other words, watch me. It affected his physical demeanor and health. And you and I, we call that love. But as that was concerned, it was still lust. Sometimes people come to church to the point where they say, oh, this is my Christian faith. It's even affecting me. It's a lie. It's what they want to get from God. He's so vexed that he was sick for his sister, and she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Verse 3. But Amnon had a friend, terrible friend, whose name was Jonadab. I tell you, choose your friends right. The son of Shimea, David's brother. Jonadab was a very subtle man. There are many subtle people out there in church, and they come and tell you why he's screaming. Just go to church, pay some seed, God will give you. Come to church with me now. What's all this? But they say Christianity, that when you're born again, you have to give God all your life. For where? For where? We can still go to club. We can still smoke. We can still drink. Don't go to church now. Maybe you go to church. Don't go to church. Give and tithe. Come out. Then God will bless you. Those are the things and a few friends that have dragged us to church. And those friends, some of you have a sincere heart towards God, they tell you, forget this God thing. You go there and use God. Go and use him. That's why God is there for you. Go and use God. How do you mean? My brother, let's go. You see? And that terrible friend said to him, why are you being a king's son, living from day to day, without not telling me? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother's Absalom sister. Wait a minute, that love, don't forget it. He said, I love. From the context, you and I have deduced, he lusted. As he was concerned, it was love. So you can imagine how many people in church keep saying, I love God. But meanwhile, you and I say, that's not love, that's lust. You say, no, Reverend, I love God. No, it's lust. Can I tell you why? No human being in his right sense will say, I lust after you. You miss that. They will not say it's lost. Nobody will agree it's lost. They will still say it is what? But people that have eyes to discern, watch me, that knows the character traits between of love, that understand love and lust are different. They know that when you love, you give. When you lust, you take. He wasn't willing to give to her. He was simply want to take from her. So whenever you say to God, I love God, and all your mind is, I want to take from him. Look at me, brother. You lust after the blessings of God. You don't love God at all. If all you call love is to take, that is lust. That's lust. You don't tell me you love and all you want to do is take. That's silver love. That's silver love. Because if all you know, do you know people that sleep with prostitutes? Tell them I love you. Or you don't know. Because they won't say I don't like you. They say, oh, no, I like you now. Pay, pay, pay. I love you. She said you want love. Love has been abused. Samson lusted after a prostitute. So he said, I love her. Then Jonadab said to him, lay thee down on thy bed. Make thyself sick. Let's have revival. When thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat. Who is giving to whom? And yet you tell me you love her, and all you are doing is to take from her. Let my sister give me. For God so loved the world that he gave. The proof of love is giving, not taking. So when I see people in church, now all they try to say, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to Christ. I'm committed to my faith. And that commitment is expressed by how much they get. And when they don't get it, they get hungry, they get grieved, they get upset. They say, no. I don't think they love us in this place. They don't love. There's no love in this church. There's no love in that church because you are there. The day you leave the place, the church will be full of love. For it is more pleasant to give than to receive. So I prayed him, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down, made himself sick. Oh God, I don't want to preach on that. I don't want to go into that. Made himself sick. There are quite a lot of people that feign sickness around us just because they want to take something from us. They manipulate the system just because they want to receive from God. They try to think God does not know their hearts. They make themselves sick. And when the king has come to see him, Amnon said to the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me some couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Verse 7, David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. Verse 8. Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house and was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. All the while she was doing that, he was lusting. He was lusting. I lust, not love, this girl. Now go ahead. And she took a pan and poured them out before him. But he refused to eat. I thought she wanted some food. No, I brought you in here to get something more than food from you. Do you know why? Because there's so many things God has given to us. We say, no, that's what I want. The reason I want, there's a particular blessing I want. That's what I want from God. So, and then Amnon said, have all men from me. And they went out every man from him. Verse 10, and Amnon said to Tamar, bring me meat into my chamber that I may eat of thine hand. Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to the chamber to Amnon her brother. Verse 11, and when she had brought them to the meat, he took hold of her, said to her, lie with me, my sister, sleep with me. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. Don't do this. And I, where shall I cause? Whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. There's a right way from getting your miracles. There's a right way. Don't forcefully tell God, if you don't bless me this year, I will walk away from you. We give conditions to God, and we call that love. How be it, he would not listen unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her, laid with her. This is rape, because it was lust. She lost, he lost her body. Body raped. God is against rape in scriptures. And Amnon ate at her. This is what I don't understand. Verse 15 to verse 2. Verse 2 tells us, and Amnon loved her. I love my sister. Then in verse 15, Amnon did what? Go back to verse 16. Verse 15. And Amnon hated her. How can you hate quickly the person you love 2 hours ago? Oh no, you are missing the message today. The message: the silver lovers are quick to leave church when they don't get their blessings. The silver lover amazed me. One day they're saying they love God. The next day they speak ill of God. The silver lovers, they tell you they will die for you today. Next minute they don't like you anymore. Silver lovers. You keep wondering, did you ever love me? Be careful from those about those who easily disconnect and dissociate with those they say they love. Can I say it again? Be very wary of people who easily dissociate and disconnect from those they claimed they loved. Because if you love somebody, emotions, very difficult to disconnect from. I've seen people in my life that claim to love me, and the next minute they just so easily disconnect. I'm like, just like that. Just, and for weeks I'm crying, I'm mourning, I'm breaking. I say, God, how could this person leave the church? And easily they've moved on. Easily. The next minute they hate you. They hate you. Next minute. And I'm not hated exceedingly. So that, Pastor Jackson, the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. How is that possible? How is that possible? Even the Bible said it's amazing. How could you so hate somebody like that? And he said, arise, be gone. The person you say you loved, that means he was lost. That's a silver lover. A silver lover of God. There are those that want to use God, rape God, rob God, and walk away. There are many people like that. They come to church, they come to faith, only to rob him, take from him, rape him. And when they are done using God, they walk away. 6 months after, they come back, want to lose their job. Say to him, I love you. He gives them another job. They walk away again. Another 2 weeks after they get in the job, a new breakthrough. They walk away from God, walk away from faith, but lied. Because he never falls asleep. Arise, be gone. And look at what she said. What she said amazed me. I preached a sermon on this many years ago. She said to him, there's a very powerful power. There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other which thou didst to me. Two evils. Tamar was poetic. And Tamar was poetic. Tamar said, of these two evils, this second evil is worse. There were two evils mentioned. The first was what? Rape. The second is what? Rejection. So I preach to someone, what is worse than rape? Rejection. So what she was saying is, I don't mind being raped. Rape me, but don't reject me. I don't mind. And that's what we do to God. Silver lovers rape God, and they also reject God. And you think God is not unaware? You rape him, and you reject him. You can't defend him at work. You can't defend him in a bus. They slander God, you join them. They slander church, you join them on social media. After you have raped him, robbed him, you also reject him. Tamar said, this greater evil is worse than the former evil. Rape me, but please don't reject me. Treat me like a being. Some of us will treat God like a being. Don't you ever slander church, God, or men of God on social media. Be careful. Don't join them. Most of the things you receive from God. God gave you life. God blessed your life. And you just go ahead and slander heaven. This Christian faith says, I know we'll go to church anymore. Oh, sorry, God is missing you in heaven. As if it's you and I that make God God. With or without us, God is God. God does not need you and I to become God or to walk as God. Put your hands together. So he says, she said to him, this one is worse than the other one. So this is exactly what I'm saying. There are three kinds of lovers in church. And we all say we love God. But this category are the worst. The silver lovers are the worst. Love of God can be difficult to teach and explain to people, especially when it's supposed to be our response, not his action. Listen, the Bible tells us about two categories. Let me explain to you. This will make it easier for you. Those that follow Jesus in Matthew 13 and John 6. Give me John chapter 6 verse 1. I want to explain to you the difference, Sister Ejiro, between multitudes and disciples. Multitudes are silver lovers. Disciples of Jesus are gold lovers. Now, platinum lover, I will tell you who they are supposed to be. Not the apostles, but John. The disciples that are willing to die for God. So in the scriptures, you find the multitudes, Pastor Jackson. You find the 12 disciples, watch me. Then you now find one disciple called John. At the cross of Calvary, he was the only one there. Oh, that's a platinum lover, watch me. Oh, no, you missed that. Listen to me, listen. Peter was louder than John. Peter was vocal than John. You can't hear John say things in scriptures. But when the going was tough, guess, Janet, who was there with Jesus? John. Sometimes those that are quiet in church can be the quiet, silent, platinum lovers. Not those of us that are always shouting and screaming, hallelujah, glory, yeah, preacher. But when it comes, when the rubber meets the tire, meets the rubber and meets the road, and when it gets to the real thing, when we have to now our faith be tested, our love be tested, what do? Here we run. When Christ was arrested, they fled. Only one of them was found at Calvary's cross, and when Jesus was about to die, he looked down. Where are my 12 disciples? One is gone, others have fled, only John is here. So Jesus said, I'm going somewhere, watch me. He said, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Watch me. The only person I can commit my mother, the things that matter to me, to the hands of the platinum lovers. And the Bible said, John took Mary home from that day. Platinum lovers take the things that matter to heaven home. These people love him more than these people. Multitudes were following Jesus. Disciples were gold lovers. Multitudes were silver lovers. But John, oh Jesus help me, was a platinum lover. That's why I'm going to tell you something now. Only the Johns know the secrets of God. He gave the book of Revelation to this one, not them. Revelation is the future. Oh, don't let me go to that. When I get to 2 weeks time, when I'm teaching your platinum lovers, I will explain what the characteristic, the traits of a platinum lover. They are quiet too. They're also nice quiet, but are the best givers. You will never hear their voice in church. These ones, when they give 10,000, the senior pastor is in trouble. They'll ask for an account of 10 million. Pastor, we gave some money for the building of the church. We want to know how you have spent that money. We are here. How much did you give? This man gave 10 million, nobody knew. You give 10,000, you won't let the pastor breathe. I'm not saying the pastor should not give account. But the way you are making it sound is like a platinum lover. Now, there's a difference. Today we are discussing who? Today who? Who are they? Who are they? Multitudes. Next week we'll go to who? So now I ask you, which one are you? Are you a multitude or are you a disciple? Which one are you? Because we have to separate the chaff from the wheat. We have to separate the goat from the sheep. Uh-huh. Because goats have horn. They are quarrelsome. They like to fight. The sheep have no horn. You are a goat. You're always fighting in church. Always quarreling. Always fighting. Their food is different. This one is different. That one is different. We have goats. Too many goats. That's why I tell people I'm a shepherd. Not a goat herder. So I'm not always very tolerant of goats around me. There are many goats we have everywhere. And they pretend that they're sheep. Because you look like sheep, does not make you sheep. Aluminium is not the same as what? Iron. They may look alike. They are not the same. John 6, verse 1 to 3, quickly. Multitudes. And that's the problem, Pastor Jackson. We have so many multitudes in church. So we don't even know ourselves anymore. You see a church with 10,000 members, 80% are multitudes. After these things, Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee, which was the Sea of Tiberias. Next. And great multitude did what? Why? Multitude follow because of miracle. Why? What they can get from you. Can you tell me how many miracles Jesus did on disciples? Peter, James, John, Andrew. Mention! Account in Bible that how many miracles did Jesus do for disciples? Many! And Jesus went up into the mountain and there he sat with his who? Can you see the two difference? Multitude followed him because of miracles. Disciples sit with him because of fellowship. Oh Lord, you missed that. Disciples sit with Jesus because of fellowship. The gold lovers love his presence. The multitudes love his presence. Oh, Matthew, did you get it? Gold lovers love and enjoy his presence. Silver lovers, Pastor Pedro knows what I'm saying, enjoy his presence. Jackson, do you know how many people love me for what I give them? I know them. They don't know I know them. And there are some that just want to sit around River Casale to just hear the word. Just wisdom. Just enjoy my presence. Daddy, let's talk. Daddy, tell me scripture. They find it difficult to ask me for money. These people, when they are coming to you, you almost know why they are there. The moment they say, Daddy, you know what is coming next. So after 10 minutes in my presence, they can't wait to say, sir, hey, your son is broken. So the moment they get the genet, you expect them to stand after 10 minutes with you and enjoy your presence. Hey, sir, you don't have to run off now. Sorry, sir. I'll come back next week. And you can tell. You can tell. Huh? Oh, they use you well. I don't mind. No, I don't even mind being used. I've told people, use me. But use me well. Those that despitefully use me, they're not I'm angry with. Bible says somebody will despitefully use you. If you use somebody, use him well, like a footman, do it well. Take care of the thing. You are using me, but use me less gentle. Use me well. Don't now use me like I'm you know. You get the point. Use me roughly. Use me roughly. Multitudes follow for bread. If you read down through that passage, Jesus was trying to correct them. It's a very deep passage. Let's continue. John 6. I don't have time. I want to explain to you. Look at verse 3. Jesus was really concerned. Jesus went up to a mountain. No, verse 4. Rush through it, please. And the passerby of the feast was near. Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth. Verse 7 is not enough to give to them. Verse 8, I'll go to a place. We'll now see the man. One of his disciples, Andrew, said, there's a young man here. There's a lad here. Verse 10. Verse 10, I want to rush it down to a point where Christ now began to explain the difference between these disciples. And, okay, make the men sit down. Exactly. Verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Disciples serve the multitudes. Disciples serve the multitudes. Disciples said to them that were sitting up, likewise of all the fish as much as they would. Next verse, verse 12. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets and a fragment of the 5 barley loaves. And then the next verse, 14. Then those men... Okay, go to verse 26. Okay, wait here. Those men, look at verse 14, Sister Violet Jackson. The multitudes, watch me, after they had eaten, they said what? Those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus is, this is of the truth. Who? The prophet. When did they say that? Oh, he missed that. There were two things that happened there. My eyes were open to it. Number one, they ate bread. Number two, the bread they ate was a function of what? Miracle. Watch me. You know, Bible says here, when they saw the miracle. But you will see what Jesus said. Go to verse 24. See what Jesus said. Go to verse number 26. Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves which were filled." What's the difference? Christ said, no. You seek me, not even because of the miracle, but because of the bread. Two things happened. They ate bread. That bread was what? A miracle. Oh, you are missing it. They don't care about the source as long as they eat. Multitude do not care. Oh, you miss that. So they can go to Joshua's church, any false prophet church. I don't care where it is coming from. Just give me bread. They don't care where that money is coming from. If you steal it, just give me money. They don't care how you get it. Just give me the bread. Christ said, "You are seeking me not because you even saw the miracle." I thought the miracle should convince you and make you converted to become a disciple. But the reason you are seeking me is just for what? Bread. With the mango chop. That's multitude. Put your hands together. That's multitude. That's why the church is in trouble today. We did not teach them the source of miracles. We did not teach them to love the God of miracles. We teach them to love the bread, the product of the miracle. So we have people going to false apostles, false prophets, bad churches. As long as he can do it, I don't care if it's a miracle. Just give me bread. Give me job. Give me money. Do you know the pain some of us go through to get to a job? You don't care how we get the jobs for you. All you want is give me job. Do you know the pain we go through to give you some stipend? You don't care. Just give me some stipend. Do you know the pain we go through to give you some money to pay for your school fees? You don't care. Just pay my school fees. We don't care. And Jesus had to help us here. In verse 14, when they saw the miracles, they said, "What? You are the prophet." So they began to chase him around. Jesus escaped. In that passage, in verse 14, they were forcefully going to make him a king. You don't get it. They wanted to make Jesus a king. From that verse 14, 15, if you read it down, they wanted to make him a king. King of what? King of the boys. You see? And when Jesus therefore perceived that they will come to take him by force to make him a king. Who can tell me why don't they make him a king? For more bread. Oh, you missed that. For more bread. This is, I'm going to give you 10 characteristics of civil lover. A king. Oh, you're not getting it. King. Who is a king? A leader, national leader. Who are they today? Politicians. Why do we vote them in? But sir, that man is a thief. For where? If they give us bread. The man is corrupt. For where? They give us money. Excuse me. The man you are voting in to be governor, president, is a thief. They don't care. Why? Give me. So politicians know you. Every 4 years cycle, they come and give you 10,000 naira. You go and vote for them. For bread. For bread. Silver lover. If you read that passage now, Martins, you will weep for the church. For Jesus now began to explain to us in verse 26 down to 34 who silver lovers are. Christ said, "Do you know these people? They don't love me. I know you people." Look at verse 27. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. What's wrong with you? But labor for the meat that endures unto everlasting life. Be a platinum lover. Which the Son of God can give to you. For him as a father seal. Verse 28. 28. Then they said to him, "Watch or what? I want you to please follow. All of you, please be intelligent now and follow the train of thought." They said to him, "What shall we do that we might do the works of God?" Shh. Which works? Which works were they asking for? Bread, bread, they want more bread. Miracle to provide bread for us. Look, Christ was getting to their mind. All they were after was bread. Christ did not, didn't get it. Look at next verse. He now said, okay, let me tell you, this is the work of God, that you believe on him, me. That is what you should do. Whom God has sent. Believe on the giver of the bread, not the bread. They said therefore to him, okay, we don't care. What sign shall thou give to us that we may see and believe thee? What are they asking for again? What dost thou do the work? Our fathers did it. Oh, you get it. Put your hands together. Can you now get it? Christ was trying to direct them to himself. They kept asking questions about the bread. What shall we do to do the work of God? He said, look, look, this is the work of God. Believe in Jesus, the one that God has sent. Believe in the provider, not the provision. He said, okay, 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 we know. What is the sign that you give to us about this bread? Our fathers ate bread. Why are you people concerned about the provision, not the provider? About the gifts, not the giver? About the presence, not the presence? About the bread, not Christ? So he now taught them the bread of life. You see, they took him back to bread. Look at verse 32. I want you to follow him. Jesus now said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, manna, but my Father gave to you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he that comes down from heaven. I am the bread of life. And he gives life unto everyone. Love me. Don't love the bread. Then said they to him, Lord, give us what? Oh, are you getting it? Their mind kept going to where? Bread. See, they kept going to where? They don't all the things you're saying. All this your message. All this your grammar. All this your revelation. What? What? Give me. Give me. So Christ kept taking them from this level to that level. Matthew, they kept leaving that place to come back here. They kept dragging him here. Christ was teaching them the truth. They kept dragging him to material things. Evermore give us this bread. When Jesus now said to them, see, Jesus now took the message to next level. He now said, okay, one bread. I am the bread of life. Eh? I am he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I said to you that you have all seen me, believe not. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You see, he's not dividing multitude from gold. Say, well, you guys have seen me, you don't believe. This ones will believe, that one will love me more. So he now said, look, I can't satisfy you. Watch me. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Next verse. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which I will give to me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which has seen the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Next verse. The Jews then murmured, you are taking this message to another level. Because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. They wanted physical bread. They are giving us spiritual bread. What are you saying? They murmured. You see how the message changed? And they said to him, is not this Joseph? I thought you called me the prophet a few minutes ago. Can you see how the message changed? Psychophants, you just call me, this is a prophet, the Son of God, the one that came after the earth bread. My God, can you say they praise him? Come, what's all this nonsense? This is not Joseph. Whose father and mother we know here? Why do you say that? He now says he came down from heaven. Come, don't give us that rubbish. Verse 43. 43. Next verse. Next verse. Okay. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. Next one. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent him, draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Next verse. It is written in the prophets that you shall be taught. Let me just leave that one. He now began to teach them that you must eat my flesh. Eh? You must eat my flesh. You must drink my blood. When they heard that, they said, okay, this is a hard saying. They all departed from him. The same people that praised him a while ago. Why? They were silver lovers. What they wanted was what? Bread. They wanted to rape him, rob him, take from him. They were not interested in giving, in serving, in loving. We have many like that. So that's why sometimes I'm not shocked when people leave. There's no church who don't leave. When they don't think you can give them bread anymore, they find another bread giver to make king over their lives. Another bread giver, bread provider to make king over their lives. The Lord will help. It's all about the bread. Listen to me. Multitudes and disciples are different. Multitudes are what silver lovers, disciples are what gold lovers. Multitudes follow for bread and fish. Disciples follow the giver. Multitudes are blind, deaf, and not converted. Disciples are not. Matthew 13. Give me Matthew 13, verse 2 and 3. To see that the silver lover and the gold lover are two different persons. Who are you? Are you a silver lover or a gold lover? Do you love God like gold? And it takes you being tested and tried to be gold. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him. Great multitudes. He went into a ship, sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3. He spake many things unto who? Who? Multitudes. In parables, saying, behold, and so and so forth. So that's why, if you want to know a disciple and a multitude, multitudes, God speak to them in parables. Disciples, God speaks to them plainly. So listen to me, Janet. If the word of God is like a parable to you, you're a multitude. If it's plain, you're a disciple. The way you see this book reveals who you are. Innocent. You see, he spoke to them. Look at verse number 10. Go to verse 10. Go to verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou to them? Oh, you missed that, Sister Violet. Can you see, Emma? There is who here? Silver lovers, multitude. There is who here? Gold lovers. So the gold lovers came to meet him one-on-one. Raymond, why speak to them in parables? Meaning, you explain things to us plainly. Our relationship with you is better than them. Why do you speak to them? So the gold lovers know that we are not them. I know I'm not them. My relationship with Jesus, I know I'm not them. So I'm asking you, are you a disciple? How do we know them? The way you love Jesus. These people love for what they can take. This one love for his presence. I long to be in church. If you see a Christian that is weary of church presence, is a multitude. If you see someone who does not like God's presence, who does not like to spend time in church, who's always complaining, it's too much, why are you always in church now? Every time, church. Even if it's your husband, that man is a multitude. You are a Christian. He is not born again. You and I know your husband is not born again. You know, I was glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. And if it's your wife, you are in trouble. If you're a wife always complaining your husband is in church, you should be ashamed of yourself. Do you want him to go to the club? Look at, then Jesus now answered. He answered and said, because it is given unto you to what? To what? To know. Raymond, I can see you are jumping up. You are different from them. We have so many of them in church and we say we are Christians. They are not. They are multitude. They are silver lovers. They love God for what they can get from God. They want to rape him, rob him, steal from him. We are gold lovers. We want to give to him. Gold is not gold until tried in fire. We're tried and tested. We have not backslided. We're still standing. Our heart is for him. Our heart has been given to Jesus. So he said, he's giving to you to know the mystery of the kingdom. But to them, it is not. Look at them, why? They are not interested. These guys, they are interested in bread. Oh, you don't get it. Jackson, you missed it. How do I know a multitude? When you are preaching a sermon, some people that are gold lovers, they're always interested, right? They say, wow, what? They are really eager to know the mysteries, to know revelations, to get excitement. You see him? He's enjoying it. He's a gold lover. But some Christians, these ones here, when you are sharing revelations and insights from scripture, oh, time is going now. They Let's not start the match now. Oh, Telemundo, Telemundo. Reverend is preaching too long. He started this message 40 minutes ago. No, 4 hours ago. Oh, when will church service be closing now? We have to close service now. This service is too long. It's too long. They are not interested in mysteries of the kingdom. They are not, oh, you don't get it. They are not interested, Gideon, in the mysteries. They're not interested. They want to give them bread. So when we are sharing mysteries and we're excited, we're happy, we're joyful, we are jumping, we are saying word, insight, revelation. Those guys are wondering, why are they jumping over now here? Why is this guy jumping? This will be now for them. Oh, they're not interested. So Christ had to say, multitudes and disciples are different. So people are interested in the mysteries of the kingdom. That's why some places you do ministers conference, you will never see some people there. You do what conference, they will never come. You do 5 ways to make money, they will flock into the place. Come for a miracle service, God will bless you, they will run there. Come for breakthrough hour, they will be there. Eh? Come for operation, kill your enemy, they will be there. Come, your visa is ready, they will come. Here, come, we're sharing the mysteries of the kingdom, for where? Come into knowing the heart of the Father, for where? Come and understand kingdom business, for where? They don't care. That's what Pastor Kasali, they don't care, because they are not gold lovers. They are silver lovers. Put your hands together. My time is up. I've not even started my 10 characteristic traits. I'm still doing my preamble. The Lord will help me in Jesus' name. This is still preamble. I've not even gone to the message. This is still what? Preamble. Gideon is wondering. Preamble says. Hallelujah. Multitudes. This is preamble. Are blind and deaf, but disciples are not. Verse 10. For whosoever asks, to him shall be given. He that asks more abundance, that he may have more abundance. And whoever asks not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables. See, there is a them and there you. But they seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Look at next verse. All of you, look at next verse. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. Seeing you shall hear. So you have to ask, are you seeing? Are you hearing? Look at the last one. Verse 15 is key. The difference. Those people's heart is waxed gross. Heart is a place of what? Love. They cannot love me. Their heart, their ears are dull of hearing. Their ears have they closed, they're blind. Lest they see at any time. Did you see? Lest at any time you see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart. 3 levels. And should be what? That's the answer. Should be what? Watch me. That's where I'm going to. Multitudes can come to church. They're not converted. They're not born again. These ones are converted. Now what converted means changed, reformed. The heart, the eyes, the ears. Let me give you an answer. What your eyes long to see, and when you see, is excited. What your ears long to hear, when you hear, it trickles you. What your heart yearns for shows if you are a gold lover or a silver lover. Ask yourself, which one are you? Are you a multitude or a disciple? Do you come to him because of bread, or you come because of presence? The church in the wilderness, in Numbers 11. Numbers 11. The Bible says there was a mixed multitude in the church. The first church in the wilderness. Numbers 11 verse 4. And Numbers 11 verse 4. Yes, Numbers 11 verse 4 is there. And the mixed multitude that was among them felt a lusting. Say it again, silver lover. Jackson, you missed it. What is this place? Lust. That place, like. That one, love. The multitude fell a lusting. and the children of Israel wept again. So guess what? The people that desired the food in Egypt were these people. Not these people. But these people are so weak, they could not discern that these ones are not one of us. So the Egyptians went with them. They were the ones that desired the food in Egypt. These ones ate slave meals. Those ones ate Egyptian meal. So how come you are desiring food you never tasted? They were slaves. So when they say flesh, they were saying the things we used to eat there. I've never tasted some Igbo food, so I cannot yearn for Igbo food or some Kanuri food. But if I have in my church Kanuri people plenty, say, so I want this meal. Yes, we want it. We miss it. But I never miss it. I never ate it. Are you with me? So it was a mixed multitude. In Numbers 13, verse 3, now it came to pass, Nehemiah, when they had heard the law, when they heard the word of God, like I'm preaching you now, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Nehemiah 13, verse 3, it's time for us to separate the gold from the silver, disciples from the multitude. Guess what we'll do? Is the word. It was when they heard the word, they said, come. Let us separate the who? The gold from the silver is there. It came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel the mixed multitude. Because there's a crowd in church today. That's why the voice we hear from the church, we don't know is the voice of Christians or the voice of the world. The church has been so mixed with the world, we don't know the difference anymore. There's some things we're not discussing before. We're never discussing consent in rape. Why should we be singing the Lord's song in Babylon? Even Bob Marley sang it. Why should we be singing the Lord's song in Babylon? These are the people that rape. These ones don't rape. They do abstinence until marriage. Now in the church, when I discuss, should a man give consent to a woman? How? We have many. Without us even knowing, silver lovers, without us even knowing. So if guests are taking, these people will be the one dictating what we do. You know why? They are more than us in number. 5,000 multitude fed, 12 disciples. That was a 12 and a 70. But out of 5,000. So they are more than us in numbers. They were following Christ in their throne. A lot of them. I'm supposed to close, but I'm not close. I will finish my sermon. Let me read it out to you quickly. I will read out to you the 10 biblical facts and examples of the silver love or silver lover. I've already mentioned some of them. Number one, the silver lover stays around for bread and fish and then leaves you. That's John 6 verse 14 and verse 26 to 34. I've already explained that to you. Number two, the disciples that we follow, the gold lovers, as long as it's convenient. The silver lovers are those that follow God as long as it is what? Convenient. The moment it's no more convenient, they walk away. They are not gold lovers. Christianity, how do you love God? Do you love God conveniently? Do you love God and say, look, I won't kill myself? Matthew chapter 8 verse 18 to 22. You see somebody there saying, now Jesus saw the great multitude about him. He gave commandment to depart on the other side. Look at the next verse. And a certain scribe came saying, Master, I will follow you wheresoever you are going. Here I come. Christ answered, okay, foxes have hole, birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Next verse. Where is he? He's gone. The guy left. The guy just said, you don't have anywhere to lay your head. So where will I now sleep? I didn't know you're this poor. I beg, let me go. I beg, be my left. The silver lover follow God as long as it is if you do night vigil, 20% of your church will come. Why? 80% is not convenient. The vigil will tell us who a gold lover platinum lover and silver lover is. They tell us who they are. They reveal to us. Salvation is free, but discipleship is expensive. There is a cost of discipleship. Salvation is what? We will preach the grace of God to multitude. Once they come to Christ, they must now start paying the cost of discipleship. We don't preach that anymore. Number three, the people that say, I can't kill myself. If you say that again in Fota, we will accuse you and condemn you. Nobody should ever say, I can't kill myself anymore. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21 to 22. Jesus said to them, if thou will be perfect, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come. When the young man heard that saying, he went away. Oh God, no be that kind thing I can't sign. I beg. But he told me, what will you do to enter the kingdom of God? And I just told you, he went away sorrowful. The man was saying, I can't kill myself. Number four, loving without sacrificing. Now this is the multitude. Silver lovers are those that love God without sacrifice. You miss that. Silver lovers are who? Those that love God without sacrifice. That's why it's convenient. And we found that in 2 Samuel 24 chapter, we did that David said, I will not give God what will not cost me anything. 2 Samuel 24 verse 20 to 25. He said it clearly, I will not give to God what will not cost me anything. So there are some people that just think I can love God without sacrificing for him. They are who? Silver lovers. There are many of them everywhere. They won't give extra time. They won't give extra money. They won't pay their tithe. They will not even come to the house of God to usher, to clean the church. They will not do anything. Yet they say, I love God. How? You are a silver lover. Not a gold, not a platinum. You love God for what he will give to you. You see, the king said to Araunah, nay, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does not cost me nothing. David could not imagine. He was king. He said, no, how can I? It must cost me something. How can I give God? It's a principle that I love. How can I give God something that will not cost me anything? Does it make sense? How can I say it? If it's not convenient, I won't give him. You're a silver lover, not a gold lover, certainly not a platinum lover. Our aim is to become platinum lover. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your mind, all your part. All. Number five, loving God for silver is likened as Judas loved God. Now, of the three, all of you, look at me. What I did not tell you is this. There was a guy called Judas Iscariot. He was a gold lover, one of the 12. Listen, if you don't continue to fan your love for God, you will go down to become a multitude. The man went down and he went to negotiate for Jesus for his silver. In fact, Jesus called him the devil. Is there? What will you give me that I may deliver him to you? And the covenant of 30 pieces of silver. So he became a silver lover, not a gold lover. He went down. So don't say, Pastor, I'm a disciple. Now I don't need to do it anymore. No. You have to continue to walk in love and get to that point. If you do nothing, very soon, your love for God will wax cold. Matthew 24. Because iniquity shall abound. The love of many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24. And when it waxes cold, you get to become what? Silver lover. Many of you think you don't have to do anything. You're going to be gold forever. No, you must make sure that your gold is stronger and shiner and brighter and glittering for Jesus. Hallelujah. Number six, there was a lady that all of you know in scripture, Michal, the daughter of Saul, that married David. Michal loved God as silver as long as she was in the picture. It means that she loved these people. They love God as long as they are in the picture. When David, the platinum lover, was dancing naked before God, Michal condemned her husband. That's why I'm asking God to give us strong men in Fulton. Strong men. I love our wives. All our women are great women. But do not ever try to stop the way we love God. Don't try to do that. Women use manipulation. Sometimes men, by the way, because I've been accused of being a chauvinist. I only talk about women. Some men also manipulate. Some men are also witches. You sorcery over their wives. But you see, when any party in a marriage, watch me, is manipulating her husband or wife not to love God more. Shh. Look at me, sir. For your selfish purposes, you are a silver lover. I love my wife, Adefunke Kasani. She has sold me into ministry. Do you know how much pain she's receiving for not being with me? We've been apart for years. Do you know how much I celebrate you? I celebrate you. Let me put your hands together for that woman. I celebrate you. She sold me to God. She's a platinum lover. You know why? Watch me. She's selfless. This place is selfish. And it comes in a way that makes sense. But in Christianity, things we do sometimes don't make sense. Because if you love me, your family should be first to you go to church every time. What about your family? What she's saying or he's saying is, spend more time with me than with God. Without knowing, spend more time with me than with God. Do you know why? Can I tell you why? Shh, look at me. Look at me. She has left God. And you don't know it. So Michal condemned her husband for loving God. Well, she said, you are dancing naked before those stupid idiots. Those idiots, why are you dancing naked? David said, no, I'm sorry. I danced naked before my God. The Almighty. I see God in my dancing. You see the people because you are too concerned about people. You're blinded. You can't see God. You have eyes. You're not seeing. It was a procession. It was a worship time. It was worship. And you couldn't see God in the worship. You are seeing too much of yourself. You mean we were worshiping God in church. You couldn't see God. You are concerned with your makeup. So you don't want to shed the tears. It doesn't mess your makeup. Your hair, your wig, your clothes. I am crying. I'm saying, God, I worship you. Why is he doing this now? Why is he doing this? Don't embarrass me. You're embarrassing me now, honey. Honey, why are you embarrassing me? Look at you. That lace. How much money I bought it for you? It's so expensive. Don't stain it on the floor. And the guy is not even aware about the lace. Guy is lying flat on the floor in a dusty church, just worshiping God. And you are saying, oh, yeah, I've seen that lace now. What's all this? This guy said, look at him. You are not even seeing God. You are seeing yourself too much. Your eyes are fixed on you. When you come to God's presence, it's less of me, more of him. Less of me, more of him. That this is selfish. That is ultimately selfless. This is, I'll tell you tomorrow, this is joint. I love you as much as you love me. I love me and I love you. That's good. That's what Peter did. I'll show you what Peter did. Peter said, what have they given to us? We've left everything. No. But that's what God does. God, they live. No, God loves us. They love God, though. More than silver. They love God. They follow God. But they also negotiate. Peter told Jesus, come, what shall be given to us? We have left all things to follow you. But in this point, you're not even concerned. You're just concerned about him. This one, you are worshiping him, you like him, but also expecting something back. This one, it has nothing to do with him, just me. I like the selfish mutual. You know, so mutual benefits, me and God. I love you, you love me, praise God, hallelujah. You bless me, I bless you, praise God, hallelujah. I pay tithe, you give me blessing, praise God, hallelujah. I come to church, you help me, praise God, hallelujah. So it's a business. But this one says, even if he does not bless me, I will still serve the Lord. Job, though he slay me, Can you see the difference? This is sacrifice. This is painful. And it enjoys the pain. That's where Christianity is enjoyed. That's where God says, these are my children. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This one is even not part of me at all. This one is still trying. He's still trying. Let me round up now in the next 2-3 minutes so we can pray. Number 7. Silver lovers are political lovers. Politicians, they give you something for something back. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. He said, even if I give my whole body to be burnt for you, that's what silver lovers do. They give you things, all, but they have a purpose. Number 8. Peter was asked the question about why, what they would benefit exactly. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. But that's gold. I'll tell you about that gold tomorrow. Number 9. Demas loved this present world more than God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Those are silver lovers. Silver lovers love God for something. This man was a Christian who, he now backslided. Demas has forsaken me. From being gold, became silver. Why? Having loved this present world. So he backslided. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's what they are there. Are you with me? That's what they are there. Demas was here, then he moved there. Judas was here, he moved there. Those that are here that love so much of the world, very soon you move here. If you are here, you love money, you will move here. Your faith will be polluted and contaminated. You move here. Finally, Ruth chapter 1, verse 14. There were two ladies whose husbands died. And Bible tells us in Ruth 1, I think verse 14, they lifted up their voice, Orpah and who? Ruth. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. This is Orpah, lip service love, when it is convenient. Ruth said, no, I will go with you to anywhere. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Orpah said, no, 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 come. Stop that nonsense. I only love you as long as I can try. If there's nothing, if there's nothing in your belly. Because Naomi said, yes, I cannot give you children. You cannot bless me anymore. So bye-bye. So Orpah said, there's nothing that can come from that womb anymore. So you can go. The moment you change to think the womb is barren, bye-bye. Some of you think once God is barren towards you, you can walk away from God. But Ruth said, no, even if she cannot give me, I made a vow, I will cleave unto you. I need people that will hold on to God today. Not just give God a kiss service. Don't just give God a kiss service. Hold on to God. Rise to your feet. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me, everybody. There are different kinds of Christians in church. All of us claim to love God. But today, this message is supposed to reveal our different love towards God. Are you a silver lover? Or a gold lover? Or maybe you're a platinum lover? Don't be like Orpah. To just say to God, everything is just here. Do something more than your mouth. Use your hand to love. Love must be expressive. Hold on to God. Don't just kiss God and say you love God. She left. Don't leave. Move to the next level of love. Move from silver to gold tonight. Bow your heads and let us pray. Consecrate your hearts to God. Give him your heart today again. Tell him, make a vow as you bow your knees and your head. Say, Lord, I become a gold lover. I become a silver platinum lover. I will never be a multitude anymore. I want to love you with my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole being. Love God. He deserves it. Give him everything that you have and everything that you are. Let God be blessed and happy with you. Love him. He's done everything for us. Let's respond Let's respond rightly. Don't be selfish. Don't even make it mutual. Make it selfless. God wants us to have selfless love, not mutual love. Let God love. Let God know you love Him so much. Make commitments today to increase your service in the house of God and outside the house of God. Find a place, find a way. Go for a retreat. Go for 2 days retreat, 3 days retreat. Go to a campground. Just you and God. Call it alone with God. Alone with God. Ask Him, Lord, how many more years will you give me to live on earth? What will I do for you? What will I achieve for you? I must put my money aside to print Bibles, to support the weak, to push the gospel, to sponsor a telecast. Find something to do. Support the spread of the gospel. That's the best way to live life. God gave us the gift of life. Give Him back your life as a gift. God gave us a gift of life. Give Him back your life as a gift. Father, we circumcise and consecrate ourselves to you. We bow before you. We decide to take the pain just to make you happy. As long as you're pleased with us, Lord, we give it to you. We will not make decisions like others. We will make ours for you. We look at the scriptures, the perfect law of liberty to help us how to live. Lord, we choose to give you back our lives as a gift. Accept us. Receive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I have another amen?
Thank you for listening.